I just want to thank everybody for coming this afternoon. And yes, this is all for the babies, and we want to raise extra money for them all year long. So I thank you for that. I'm really glad to be here. I have not done this before, so I do it with a guitar in front of me. So that makes it really easy, but they said I couldn't do that. So I have some of my old students here. Danielle used to ride my bus. There's other kids here that are now parents that used to ride my bus. And so I'm glad to be here. So Matthew 19:14 says, "But Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me, don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children.'" I'm going to share with you today how true that statement is and how important family is. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you right now, we just ask you to open our hearts, Lord, and that the things I share, Lord, are from my heart, Lord, and from my past. And I pray, Lord, that you just use them in Jesus' name. Okay. I was born. So now I'm looking at all you rolling your eyes. Going, oh, my gosh, she's starting from the very beginning. But they gave me 30 minutes. So in Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart." So even though you're going to hear my story today, you're going to know that God set me apart for a reason. I was born in 1957 in San Francisco as Sheila Lynn Donaldson. That was my given name. In a very dysfunctional family. Family means everything to me today, but back then, that's what I thought a family was. My mom was a mental case, and my father was a murderer. I had four siblings, and I don't know them. I was 4 years old when they took me away and put in an orphanage in San Jose. So those people now are my family. I remember the orphanage in San Jose was fun, except at bedtime. They had all the beds in the middle of the room all lined up in the middle of this gigantic room like you weren't comfortable. And they lined them up side by side, and one bed was higher than the other. And they always knew, the sisters, when they changed their time, the sisters knew that that child in that bed had been a troublemaker all day. So guess where I spent a lot of my time? On that bed. By the time I was 8, I was in and out of foster homes. Now each one of them were my family. So every time I moved, that was my family. I was adopted in 1965. My name was changed to Nikki Joe Nichols, and I lived on Knickerbocker, and that's the truth. It was hard. It was really hard. So now here's my forever family. Now I have a forever family. They had two girls already, and they had another one also after that, after the adoption. So really, I was the boy they never had. And that's what I did. I did all the boy jobs. By this time, I had many issues. There were many things wrong with me. One of them was I peed the bed till I was 10. And a lot of the times that I got into a lot of trouble. And at one point, they put me under the house at the trap door in the coat closet for punishment and left me in the dark. So as of today, and you can ask my wonderful husband, there's a light in our house all day long, all night long. It stays on because I have to have it. Back in the 60s, they didn't do background checks on parents. They didn't do really good ones like they do today, right? They put us through so much to be foster parents. And so my adopted dad was an engineer, but he worked 25 hours a day, so he was never there. And my mom was a very bored housekeeper. By the time I was 15, only 7 years after my adoption, my mom was sleeping with my friends and my boyfriends. Of course, we had marijuana in our house all the time. And believe me, I was not a good kid. I always was in trouble. I always was stealing. I was stealing food. I was stealing things. I started smoking when I was 10. I smoked till I was 21. Excuse me, I smoked till I was 30. I smoked for 21 years. Get that right. This is what I thought a family was supposed to be. So there was no God. There was no mention of religion. Didn't have a clue who he was. I had had enough with my mom, so I stole her car, and I was gone. My mom told my dad that this car was in the shop, and that she wasn't going to tell him the truth of why I had had enough. So she didn't call the cops, because what's she going to do? Is she going to tell him the truth? Why I ran? No, that wasn't going to happen. So I came back with a plan, and I told her I wanted to be emancipated as an adult. And so I said, you had to get dad to sign it and emancipate me as an adult so I can leave. And she did it. And he didn't ask any questions. He just did it. Now I'm 15 and on my own. And the last thing she said to me was, you'll never amount to anything. And a year later, they got killed in a car accident. So I never, ever got to see them again. So now I'm looking for a family, because now I need a family. I am dying for to have a family. So now drugs and alcohol are my family. I spent many years living on the streets. At 19 years old, I married a guy, had two kids, Susan and Stephen. They are now 39 and 40 years old. Now I have a family. I have a husband and a family and two kids. But at 1 and 2 years old, I left him. And now we're a family of three. I started bartending at 21. Now I have a whole new family. And I call these people my family, drugs, alcohol, and men. I got really involved in a very high-end company. Made me a lot of money in prostitution. I had worked for them for a year when they called me in to renew my contract. Because when you work for high-end companies, it's a contract deal. I started to read it, and they said, don't read it. Don't worry about it. Just sign it. But I knew this company, so I kept trying to read it, and they were stopping me. So I skimmed through the papers, and at the very end, I saw my kids' names on it. And my kids' name was on there because they were going to take them from me and sell them. And I knew that. So now they're 4 and 5 years old at this time. So I had to get out of there. I didn't know what I was going to do, but God knew. Even though I had no idea who he was, I knew that he knew me. I was set apart. So I packed everything I could, and I had a 1957 teal and white Crown Victoria. I packed everything that I could in there and my children. And I ran to the only place that I thought I could possibly go and be safe, to Rona, California, right here. And that's because their bio dad is from here. So I got back to Ramona. I decided to go to Ramona, and I got on Interstate 5 and drove. I have no phone. There's no GPS. There's just a map and praying to a God that I didn't know. I knew I was taking a chance on running, knowing that they would find me and probably kill me and take my kids. But I had to try. On that day in the history of weather was the foggiest day ever on Interstate 5. You could not even see in front of your car. I was going 5 miles an hour all the way. You couldn't do any more than that. I knew they were following me. I could feel them. But God. I finally got to Ramona, got to Circle K, got the kids out to get a drink. When I came back, somebody had stolen my distributor cap, and some of you know what that is, and some of you don't. And so I couldn't drive my car. To this day, I have no idea who took it. I do believe that God's hand was on and shaded their eyes from me and kept me safe. So I was very lucky. Never heard or saw from them again. But I always look over my shoulder, still today. I didn't even do Facebook for a very long time because I was too afraid of them and them finding me, even after all these years. Stephen and Susan's bio dad and I tried to work it out, but it just wasn't. And I was only using him to get away from my issues, my problems. So I left him again. Back to bartending, this time at the Turkey Inn. Hey, 83 to 85. I spent a lot of time, money, and drugs and alcohol. Now I have a whole new family. God had a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans for you, says the Lord, There are plans for good and not disasters, to give you a future and a hope. I was at the Turkey Inn and met a couple who had a place to rent. I was sleeping on the floor at the back of Duffy's Deli. Anybody remember Duffy's Deli? I used to work there, and I used to sleep on the floor in the back. And these people lived on 8th Street in a guest house, perfect for me and the kids, still into drugs and now dealing right here in Ramona. How I never got caught is a testament to God. He had a bigger plan for me. This couple sold their house to a Christian couple, Bill and Joni Woolley, totally oblivious to what I was doing. They let me stay there till I had a boyfriend move in. And they said, as Christians, we can't have that, so you're going to have to leave. So back on the streets I go. Not long after that, they felt sorry for me, and they brought me back to the guest house. That was in 1985. They asked me to go to church at Calvary. Of course, I said no. But you can take my kids. Go ahead and take my kids. For 2 years, they brought my kids to Calvary. For 2 years, my kids prayed in front of the church for me. Of course, I went to see their plays and their talent shows and all the things that they did in the church, but they asked every week for 2 years for me to come. Stephen was 9 years old and asked me to come hear a man speak. So on February 7th, 1987, I went with the kids, with my abusive boyfriend at my side. At the time I walked into church, I was wearing what we call now capris, but now, and back then they were hooker pants. So I had hooker pants on, a red sweater, earrings down to my shoulders, platinum blonde hair, makeup thicker than paste, and a potted face and missing teeth, and nails like knives. They were just so long. And I weighed about 125 pounds. You see, I was doing about $300 of crystal meth a day. I was making it, selling it, and using it constantly. On that day, I sat between Susan and Stephen, listening to a man named Bob Whelan, who had his legs blown off in Vietnam, and how God can use anybody, no matter what they have been through, what they're going through, or what they're going to go through. He loves you just the way you are. He made us. He says, he sees what you are, who you are, and what's we're going to be in him. I was mesmerized because I knew that he was talking straight to me. Bob did an altar call. Stephen, my son, took my hand and said, Mom, I want you to meet Jesus. I surrendered at that moment and gave my life to Jesus. That night, the Woolies put me in and the kids in the main house and put a mattress on the floor in the living room for me and put my kids in the den. I cried and cried because I hadn't been slept alone since I was 12 years old. And I was afraid. So I prayed, God, if this is real, you know I can't sleep alone. Help me. Bill and Joni's dog, Mocha, came out of their bedroom and crawled right in bed with me. And I knew that God has a sense of humor, so I was very happy about that. And I knew that he loved me enough to send me a dog. It took me 30 days to get clean. That's unheard of in today's world. But God. Now I have a family that loves me and believes in me and cares what happens to me. To make a very long story shorter, I met my husband David that year. We've been married 30 years. We wanted children, but my past had taken a toll on my health, so I had to have a hysterectomy at 35 years old. But God. In 1988, I became a school bus driver. There are my kids. I wanted to be a foster parent. We did that for 20 years. There's the rest of my kids. We fostered 58 teenage girls and adopted 6 of them. We have adopted 3 boys in 2012. They're 11, 12, and 13 now. And they're my family. We have 16 grandchildren and 11 kids. My life verse is Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. His purpose? His purpose for me was to go through what I did to be able to bring others to him in a way that you can't. In a way, I do it different. Everybody does it different. Everybody brings the Lord in a different way. He uses us in all different ways to bring the children to him. Remember our verse, Matthew 19? Don't stop the children. My children brought me to the Lord. We are here to save babies so someday they can bring someone else to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am just grateful that you used me. I'm grateful for all of these smiling faces. I pray, Lord, that they just understand that we go through these times, but you use them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.